Yeah, it's just interesting in worship when God just sets you up a little bit, and it was just really good. I just appreciate the way Phil led this morning, some of the testimony and the songs that came out, and even little prayers, which will link into what I want to share this morning. And I was just feeling like this morning, if I don't get to the end, the thing that I want, that's really in my heart, is to say, no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. No longer I, but Christ who lives in me. That's just been, just really been impressed on me this week. And I think that'll hopefully come out this morning, either by a tear or laughing or something like that. Just a little bit of a sneak preview. These are some of the things we're looking to cover in our series together. I felt God, one way or another, just kind of impress on me about our identity in Him. And when God says something, and then it keeps coming up everywhere, emails, texts, conversations, praying, you think, oh, God, I can hear you. Yeah, that's what we've got to do. Just a real sense that God's wanting to take us on a journey. And I'm happy to, in a way, park our car as a church here as long as it takes to get it inside us. I just think it's so fundamental. So if we're doing this time next year, I want to apologise, but if it's right, then we trust that God will lead us in that. So that's a little bit of a sneak preview. Those titles may change, so if you're jotting them down, you go, we haven't done this one, then they're still in formation, okay. So don't hold me to all of that. I'm going to stand here because that screen's not working now. So what shapes our identity? People, our DNA. I was trying not to be too sexist with the jobs there, but boys can be nurses as well, and girls can be builders or whatever they're doing there. But our job shapes who we are. How many likes we get on Facebook about, sorry, Nigel and Phil, two nurses, male nurses on the front row. What did I say?
Robin.
That's a faux pas, I'm sorry.
What's wrong with Nigel?
Is it a word?
It's not a word. Let's move on swiftly. So if I put that on Facebook, I wouldn't get any likes for that, I don't think. But how many emails you get, how many texts you get, does that shape who you are? I was thinking about the ball, dressing up for the ball, and this week worrying whether I'd be the odd one out if I didn't wear the right tie or the right shirt. You know, there's so much etiquette over that, so you collar up, it's supposed to be white tie, not black tie, but actually there were some people wearing, anyway, I was worried about it. This doesn't look like, and is bow tie too big for my face? Is it too small? Anyway, I got over it. But the silly little things. Sorry?
It doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to be vulnerable. There's a few things that the Freedom in Christ series, which we've done before, other books, there's a course run by a group of people called Journeys UK. And there's lots of other courses that talk about who we are in Christ, and these three things seem to crop up in different ways. Security, self-worth, significance. And our earthly relationships, as good as they are, won't do what Christ does for us. I was just thinking about my self-worth. It's a good job my self-worth isn't built on my golfing abilities. As some of you may know, I had a shocker at golf. And bless those guys who encouraged me. I said, that's it, I'm not playing it again. I felt quite down about it. I got over it quite quickly again. But actually, some people around me encouraged me. Oh, come on, you'll be all right. And it was better the next time. So, you've been vulnerable. Here's some quotes. Selwyn Hughes says, we will never resolve the identity crisis in our souls until we know how to relate to the true God who alone can give us what our souls require. Unconditional love. An eternal meaning. And Augustine said, if you have made us for yourselves and our hearts are restless, and until they can find rest in you, we were made for God. There's that shape in our being, which is God-shaped. And actually, when we find our security, our self-worth, our significance in Christ, He is most glorified. John Piper says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. If we can find our place in Christ and understand that, God is even more glorified. And God wants us to feel secure, accepted, valued, significant, all those things. That's how we were meant to be. That's how Adam and Eve were created to be. But the relationship went pear-shaped. But Christ has restored that relationship. So we are in Christ. Christ is in us. We are like Christ. And we are with Christ. And all of those things are mentioned in the Bible, and they have different, slightly different connotations. And we want to just focus a little bit on the "we are in Christ" bit this morning. But all of those phrases just explain something of our union with Christ. It's a mystery, isn't it? Us with Christ, Christ in us. It does your head in a little bit. So we're going to just zoom out a little bit to the big picture. It's good that song came up this morning, "Everlasting, Beginning to the End, He is the Alpha and the Omega." So I'm just going to read this. "Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, when he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen." And then just another one just to link into that. "This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." And I was just seeing something for the first time, I think. That before the world, before God created the world, before time, we were meant to be in Christ. Just work that out. With all the way sin has entered the world, the fall, God's seen that ahead. God's decided what's going to happen, his plan. We were meant, from the beginning of time, before time, to be in Christ. Just let that sink in a second. That special union with Christ, it wasn't an afterthought. It was part of God's plan. It was part of who we were meant to be. And Paul uses "in Christ," that phrase, "we are in Christ," about 160 times. We are truly and fearfully, wonderfully made, as the psalmist says. We are in Christ in terms of his death and resurrection. And I just wanted to outline three things really under these headings. Resurrection life, you died, and attaining to the whole measure of the fullness in Christ. So let's look at resurrection life. I'm not going to read all of these out just for the sake of time. But resurrection life is now. We think about perhaps sometimes resurrection as being a historical event, but actually it's now. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. I'm reading them all. Made us alive for Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places. It's happened already. Resurrection isn't it is something that's going to happen, but it's also for now. And I'm just thinking about, if Jesus died and never rose again, actually our identity is just useless. There's nothing to base it on. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. In fact, Paul talks about it. And if we have not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But because of Christ rising again, that's why our faith isn't futile. Then those also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people. We are of all people most to be pitied. But we're not pitied, are we? Because he did rise from the dead. And we can put our faith in that. So our identity is centred around the cross, but more importantly, it's the empty cross because he's risen again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Good. Good, you're still awake. Still not dancing from last night. Just move on to you died. Three words. For you died. It's past tense. We have new birth. When you made the decision to follow Jesus, you died. And that resulted in spiritual union with God for the first time. It's not an upgrade. It's not a tweak on our old life. It's not a shining up of our old life. It's our old life dead and a new life given to us. Again, I just... realising that again, freshly this week. Paul talks about, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. And in fact, in the Greek, it says something more like this. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. And we put in those little words in between, or the translators do. But it's a declaration. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. It's a declaration, regeneration, from darkness to light. Jesus didn't come to make our old life better, but he came to give us new life. We've seen that this morning. And that's now, in this moment. He came to make our dead life alive. And do we look back at that? Do we have a tendency to look back at that life and want to hold on to it? Maybe a little bit. But we can't look forward, being in Christ, and be looking back at the same time. It's impossible. We need to be looking forward into what Christ has for us and identity in him. Who owns a phone? Hands up. Come on. Everyone knows a phone. Okay, keep your hands up if you've got a phone contract. Okay, you can put your hands down again. When you get a new phone, it's exciting, isn't it? New, shiny. Oh, yes. My contract's coming up. Yes, I can get a new phone. Who holds on to their old phone? Now, I hold on to my phone as well, but I tend to do it just in case either I don't like my new phone or it breaks or I don't know. It's a bit of a security thing. I'll just keep it, you know, and I don't want to. But that isn't what Christ talks about. When we don't need to hold on to that. We can actually throw that away. We can discard it. We can put it away. We don't need to go back to that again because we've got the new shiny, and that's Christ. Are you a hoarder? Are you a spiritual hoarder? Do you like to hold on to that spiritual stuff? Do you like to reminisce about that stuff, those hurts, those things that have damaged you? Do you go back? New creation has started in Christ. God is redeeming his creation. We're saints. I wonder if we started calling each other saints, whether that we would start to believe it more, because that's what God says we are. You might be familiar with these. There's I am sayings about God, but this is who we are in God. And these are just a small selection. There's probably about 10 there. There's probably 50, 60. You could shape any of them to what I am. Let me just pick out a few. I am complete in him. I am alive with Christ. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. But I was also thinking about, okay, those are the positive ones, what I am. But I think just as powerful is saying what we are no longer. I'm no longer a slave, but God's child. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God, God's people, and also members of his household. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Forgiven is forgiven. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. And the same with us. That applies to us because we're in Christ. Death has no mastery over us. No longer. For sin shall no longer be your master. But now we've been released from the law, for we die to it and are no longer captive to his power. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I was thinking about that last verse. It is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. I'm trying to get that. I know that in my heart, but in my head, it's like the computer says no. It doesn't compute. Christ in me? He's surely too big to fit in me. But I was just aware this week as I was preparing in my response to things, in my attitude, things I've said, things that have happened, and then God say, Christ is in you. Should have my response been a bit better there? The answer is usually yes. And our identity and our behaviour are two different things. Our identity is sorted, so we've died, we are in Christ. Park that, that's sorted. But actually our behaviour doesn't always match up to our identity, does it? So something's happened in us, but our mind needs to be transformed, to be renewed. Our identity in Christ is sorted. Nothing can change or take that away. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. He loves you. And over the recent times, as this subject came up, I just found myself praying with people. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The enemy loves to get hold of us, doesn't he? And bring that condemnation, whisper in our ears. But I say, no, I am in Christ. We could have an opportunity to respond if you want to respond in a bit of a practical way in a few minutes' time. My prayer is that as we share, as the Spirit moves this morning, that God would just highlight something in your life, either this morning or something that you want to see at the end of this series. This is where I want to be, God. I don't want to be here, no longer here, but living in Christ. We're just going to move on to the last bit here. Ephesians, Paul talking to the Ephesians. Until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I think some of that fullness in Christ is taking on his character, becoming more like him. The old is gone, and we need to shake it off. Paul considers everything rubbish. He talks about, he actually uses the word dung. I consider it my old life, my old good life, which was pretty good in terms of my stature and my pay and all those sort of things. He considers it rubbish compared to knowing Christ. And he's looking forward and not looking back. Remember, we talked about the new normal. What is the... Perhaps that's where we start with attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ, that we decide to change what we do with a new normal. We're going to decide to do it and not look back. That is our new normal. That's how we're going to do it from now on. And how do we grow into that? How do we grow into that whole measure of the fullness of Christ? And there's been situations recently where God has just said in my ear, in the heat of a moment when I could have reacted or responded differently, you need to die to yourself. And that's been tough. And actually nowhere in the Bible it says about dying to yourself. But actually there is a verse which is pretty close, which we can get from that, is denying yourself. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. Perhaps it's that phone, that old phone you've stored away, not wanting to go back to it. Living in the flesh, living in sin, not going back to that, but denying yourself and remaining in Christ. And the Bible talks about sanctification. We are, our identity, we're saved, we are in Christ, but actually there's that process that God works his holiness into us, that we're changed. And we talked about our mind. Paul talks about presenting yourselves as living sacrifices. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that identity is clear, but do we understand it? Do we comprehend it? Is it in us? Is it part of us? Have we worked it out? And our mind and this thing, which is an iPad, but the Word of God, is what we need to get into. That changes us, that shapes us, that makes us who we are, reminds us who we are in Christ. It's a mystery, but we need to get it inside us. And actually, some of the things that shape our identity, family, friends, Facebook, jobs, just won't do that. And what we spend our time on does make a difference. As Leslie's already said this morning, withdrawing with God. God's been talking to me about withdrawing with him. And everything should be done out of that. If I'm not spending time with God, then I'm not doing things in him. I'm doing it in my own way, in my own flesh, in my own wisdom. And when we look at each other, we need to encourage each other. Then remember this one, Gary's not here, that we look at each other like Christ looks at us, like God looks at us, with a white t-shirt, because that's how God the Father sees us, like Christ, not the t-shirt on the right, which is messy and messed up, but he looks at us with a white t-shirt on. Therefore, we need to look at each other in the same way, because we're all saints. That's our identity. And as I'm just thinking about my gifting, my role, what we do in life, and for you, it's all going to be very different. But actually, there's a ceiling on where, in terms of our gifting, what we can do, what God will use us in. The more we understand our identity in him, the more we will be released into our gifting, what God calls us to be. If we don't know who we are, how can we work in his kingdom in terms of his purposes? There's no scripture for that, but that's just a gut feeling. If we don't know who we are in Christ, how on earth can we do what God has called us to be? It's a journey, and none of us are there. Or if you are, see me afterwards, because I'd love to meet you. Christ is in me, and I am in Christ. And thank you, Lord, I've got through that really quickly. I just felt it was really important that we respond this morning. And I was just asking God, okay, now how do we respond to this? This is the start of a series, and just feeling like we need to put a stake in the ground, make a statement, a declaration about where we're going. Personally, this is between you and God. If there's something that struck you this morning where you feel like, yeah, I'm not there, and it's this thing. It's this thing that's holding me back in my identity with Christ. I just felt there were a few things that God would prompt maybe some of us. I think there's probably a few people, this is very specific to you. We are all tens. Out of ten, we are all ten. If you think in your heart and your mind that you're less than ten in terms of how Christ sees you, it's a lie. So what we're going to do in a minute is there's some paper on your chairs or under your chairs. We're going to write down something. And for some people, it might be writing nine on that bit of paper, because you've not been able to see yourself as Christ sees you as a 10, a 10 out of 10. And to screw that up and pop it in the bin at the cross. And on the other side, there's two things we want you to pick up. One, they're love hearts. Please don't read the love hearts. They'll distract you, especially if they say, kiss me quick. But they're sweets. And you can digest those, taste the sweetness of it. It goes inside you, Christ in you. And then there's a little pot here, and this is a bit more random, but there's some sticky, goggly eyes that you use to dress up or do craft with. And I was trying to think, that phrase, no longer I. Yeah, I know, it's random, I know. My colleague Phil Haynes would be pleased with the pun, but it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And the sweet will disappear, but that eye, that sticky eye, can be stuck on your phone, your steering wheel, your mirror. Maybe you look in the mirror, look, and you see that eye as a prompt. It's silly, but it's a prompt to remind you, no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. It's powerful. It's a life changer. I felt there was one person here who, or maybe more, actually don't like your name that you've been given, your physical name. You just never liked it. And even when people say it, you even think, I don't like my name. God gives you a name. Perhaps you need to write your name on there in the right way and take hold of Christ this morning. Perhaps you just need to write me on there, denying yourself, and put me, screw it up, put it in the bin, saying, yes, it is no longer I, but it's Christ in me. Can we just take a moment and pray, and then we're going to, there's no pressure to do anything, but sometimes when we sit and listen, we absorb it, and it will get into our hearts and our minds, but sometimes we need to do something where we stand up and move and activate ourselves and make a decision, a response to what God is saying to us. And doing that physically, maybe prophetically, is a good way to do that. So let's just take a minute. Lord, I just want to ask that anything that I've said this morning, which would be a distraction or taken in the wrong way, Lord, if I've misrepresented your word in any way, Lord, I just pray that your word, your truth will just come through, Lord, above all of that, Lord. And ask that your word would go deep into our hearts, that word that changes us. I say thank you that we have died. It's done. Spiritually died. And we have new life in you, Lord Jesus. And ask you to ask for a fresh revelation for each of us for what that means to be in Christ. We say thank you for your resurrection, which is for here and now. And we want to grow into that fullness and work out what that is, Lord. So, Lord, at the beginning of this series, Lord, we ask that you would take us on a journey, Lord. Father, we may think we're sorted or nearly sorted. We may not think we are anywhere near sorted. But, Lord, we ask that you would just prompt something in our hearts and minds now that we can write on a bit of paper to screw up, symbolising our death in you and where we want to be in Christ as we are sanctified, as we are changed, as we are shaped, as we are moulded. And Father, may we, as we take a sweet, as we take that eye to remind us that it's you living in us. You living in us. Resurrection life living in us. And knowing what that means for the world around us. Taking resurrection life to our neighbours, our friends. And being able to understand that afresh and for that to ooze out of us.